The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
What is up, y'all? Welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. No Paul Feinbaum today. Peter Burns sitting in for the big man in the big chair for the next 4 hours. We had a lot of stuff to get into. And in fact, of course, if you know this show, we normally have like a 2 minute long open, but we get right into it because it's SEC up in Capitol Hill. That's right. Just means more up in D.C. SEC and college leaders descend on Washington to lobby for NIL reform. And who better to talk about Washington, D.C. than our man Ross Dellinger? Deli, again, it seems as if you got some frequent hotel points as much time as you're spending up there as of late. What in the world did we figure out today, if anything?
Yeah, if anything is probably needs to be highlighted in that question, man. I don't know what we really did figure out. And I don't know that we'll know for a few days, maybe a few weeks. You know, there seems to be some optimism among officials. The SEC obviously had their SEC on the Hill yesterday and part of today. Coaches and ADs were meeting with lawmakers to encourage federal legislation to be passed to govern, you know, athlete compensation. But I really don't know if anything's going to happen. And I'm sitting in an Arizona summit hosted by Arizona about the same issue, you know. So, but we won't know for a little while, if things are moving. We know there are a few bills out there and all that, but not a ton has changed.
Ross, what it feels as if, you know, there have been talk about Congress being kind of a Hail Mary type situation to intervene for name, image, and likeness. And this looks, by all accounts, with this entourage that the SEC brought up. I'm seeing Sankey, Greg Burns, Saban, Freeze, Bruce Pearl, Scott Strickland, Trinity Thomas, student athletes going up there as well. Does this feel kind of like a last gasp effort that they're going to just bring up the entire salvo to figure something out?
Well, this is, I think it's probably a decent way to frame it, that it is kind of a last gasp here, because everybody knows, and actually Charlie Baker, the NCAA president, was here at this summit today, and he mentioned that we are kind of maybe on a deadline, and I've written about this a few times. The deadline is the presidential election. So if something's not done by the end of the year, it's going to be hard to pass it. You know, legislation often slows down during election season, and some might say election season starts as early as this summer, but most would definitely probably say at least by the start of the year in January that election season really gets rolling. Now, Charlie Baker seemed to have confidence that something would happen by the fall after Labor Day. That maybe the bill would get moving, but there are a lot of hoops to jump through.
Ross, and this will be my last question about specifically NIL in Congress, because I could just see the eyeballs glazing over on the Feinbaum Show, especially when we get callers who are like, bro, I just want college football and college sports. They don't care about what's going on up in D.C., but it does play into what the coaches want at this point. If for whatever reason Congress doesn't get this done, could it ever get to a point where Sankey, as the commissioner of the conference, says, hey, you know what? If you're in this conference, here are the guidelines you're going to play by, and therefore create their own uniform rules instead of each individual state doing it?
Well, yeah, and you know, that's something that's been talked about quite a bit. You know, there, a lot of people have been complaining, and we heard it again today, of the state laws, you know, and they continue to get more and more aggressive, including prohibiting enforcement, right, from NCAA, from the SEC. But that said, right, we do hear now that the SEC might have this plan. I dove into the issue last week at SEC meetings. It was a topic there, certainly, is that if they can get all the states to look, sell the state laws to look the same, then maybe they can police NIL, the SEC headquarters, itself. Maybe it can enforce NIL itself. It can maybe create even policy and oversee NIL within the footprint, the 12-state footprint. Once Oklahoma gets aboard, it'll go to 12 states. So they're probably, honestly, you know, Peter, they're probably already about close to halfway there. About four or five of the states are on their way to looking quite the same with a lot of the similar language. So, and a lot of them already, even more than that, look pretty similar. So they'd have to, they still have some hurdles, and that, you know, that's a big task, getting legislatures and lawmakers to move quickly. Some of the sessions are out already in some of these states, like Mississippi, for instance. I think its session is over, and the legislature will not come back in session until January. So some of this will be a few months away, but that is a proposal. In fact, we asked Charlie Baker about that today, about the FCC kind of doing its own thing. Kind of sidestepped around, you know, wasn't clear on what really his thoughts were on that. He's focused on maybe that not happening, in instead having some kind of federal legislation. But again, you know, it's tough to tell if that really happened.
Deli, even if it's not the SEC and if Congress doesn't get involved, why, I always looked at it as like, hey, the college football playoff, let's just work backwards. They take over all of it and say, if you're going to be part of their college football playoff, you're going to play by these rules. You don't want to play by these rules, you're not eligible to play in the college football playoff, but that's a whole different story. We saw you briefly over in Destin, 8-9. I know what side I've been talking to people about. I know people have called in on this show about it, but overall nationally, what was the feedback from the SEC staying at 8?
Well, I think first of all, we have to make sure that everybody understands that it is kind of a temporary model. You know, it is a temporary format, maybe for as few as 1 year, and certainly probably not more than 2 years. I think. I think this is a slow step to get to 9 games. Peter, which a lot of people want, right? Mm-hmm. But there are enough schools, maybe as many as 9 or 10 in the SEC of the 14, that want additional revenue from ESPN, from the network, from the TV deal, to play a 9th game, and or want time to reschedule some of these non-conference games. That have been scheduled out, these Power 5 non-conference games that have been scheduled out. So I think that what you could have is, this is just kind of a delay, you know, for maybe eventually you get, you know, some money from ESPN, and that convinces those in the 8-game camp to go 9. Maybe you get some scheduling figured out a little bit. This just bides some time a little bit. How much time, I don't know. But Greg Sankey seemed to make it pretty clear that within a year, and maybe within a few months, you will have a more long-term scheduling format announced, which, if I'm just guessing here, right, and assuming, that will start in 2025. You'll have the 1 year of 8 games in 24, and you'll have probably a 9-game schedule start in 2025, and that'll be the format. I think that's what they want to do, so we'll mm-hmm. see.
Last thing for you, Deli, and as we start going forward, and the question I asked on Twitter earlier today was, you know, there's getting ready to be this Netflix documentary on 2006-2009 Florida, which I cannot flip and wait for. It's going to be fantastic. If you were in charge of one, and Deli Productions put out their own, what program, what era of football or baseball or basketball, whatever, would you want to do?
Oh, man. We talked about this on a podcast with Pat Forty and Dan Wetzel just actually earlier this week, and we were wondering what other college football eras, you know, would you want to do? And of course, Peter, you know where I'm going. Give me some LSU football drama from the years of the 90s when LSU was up and down, or heck, even the Ed Orgeron year, the roller coaster that we saw at championship, and then 2 years later to be out. LSU's got enough drama to certainly fill a show. And so, by the way, does Auburn. Auburn football one would be fantastic.
Yeah, between Les Miles and the Rosie Finch boys, I mean, that could be an interesting documentary, to say the least. My man, always great stuff. Again, sooner or later, we'll have fun talking about this and not Congress and all kinds of rules and regulations. We'll break bread soon, all right, bud?
All right, see you, Peter.
There it is. Ross Dellinger joining us from D.C. You can hit us up on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN or at Feinbaum as we kind of go through it. That's the question. Like, they're going to be that documentary on Urban Meyer's Florida Gators. What other program deserves that treatment? We'll take your phone calls on it and your tweets as well. A lot of guests coming up. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns sitting in for Paul Feinbaum. So you knew this story crossed my desk and I had to talk about it. College football players urged to boycott the EA game over name, image, and likeness money. Rumors coming out that it's going to be around $500 a player. I got to be honest with you. Boycott it however you want, but I'm going to play the damn game. Cannot wait. I've already called in sick that day. I don't know what day it's coming out, but SEC Network, I will be sick that day. Matt Brown's going to join us at 4:30 from Extra Points Newsletter. Does a fantastic job, not only on covering everything about EA Sports and the college football game, but just everything around college athletics as well, too. More headlines coming on today. Jack Swarbrick is calling it a day. That's right. My goodness, just an incredible run that he had over at Notre Dame. A lot of people thought that, hey, maybe they were going to join the ACC during 2020. He navigated those waters, did not have to do that. And so, sure enough, NBC Sports chairman is going to be filling in his role. So another television executive getting into college athletics. That, of course, will be ready to go in 2024. Well, the Big 12 has a new commissioner as well, Brett Yarmark, and they're trying different things. They are actually mulling Monterrey as a site of the first Mexico-based bowl game. I believe they're already doing that with a basketball, one or two basketball games, but now they're looking at, hey, why don't we go down south? We've seen the NFL do it, so Big 12 trying to expand their horizons and get a little bit more dollars in their pockets. Speaking of dollars in their pockets, Pac-12 presidents solely focus on the TV deal expected soon. We could have run that headline last month. We could have run it 2 months ago, 4 months ago. It still would have been the same as we heard the president of Arizona in the commercial break talking about it. And this is the one that I'm excited for. If you go to ESPN.com, Florida LSU leads the charge into NCAA Baseball Super Regionals, a record-breaking, or record-tying, I should say. Six squads here from this conference, tying the most that they've ever had. Of course, we've got SEC versus SEC out in Gainesville coming up on Friday. And then Bama heads to the number one seed in the tournament, Wake Forest, over on noon on Saturday. Then Kentucky LSU and Tennessee Southern Miss. So Todd Walker, if he's not playing Fortnite, or sleeping in his RV, will be hanging out with us coming up at 6:15. Fantastic breakdown on that. Until then, your phone calls, 855-242-PAUL is that number. Let's start here. David in South Carolina. Thanks for joining Peter Burns in for Paul. What's up, man? David, you there, man? All right, David, we'll get right back to you in a little bit. Matt in San Antonio, I know you're always hanging around.
How you doing, Peter Burns? Long time no see, man.
What's up, Mr. Tutu?
I got a comment. I got something I want to ask you. Last time on your show, you said that always San Antonio has the best Mexican ever. That's not what I was trying to say. Peter Burns, I'm going to be straightforward with you. Where I live, the small town, they ain't got no good food. to the Mets food. Miami, Florida, San Antonio, Dallas, Fort Worth, they all got good food. This place don't. But I want to talk about Texas A&M's football season and Notre Dame, too. But I'm going to talk first A&M.
Oh, man. Bad connection there, Matt. Sorry, dude. We'll try to get back in touch with you here in a little bit. Thomas is in California. What's up, Thomas?
Hi, Peter. How are you doing today?
Doing great, man. How are you?
Good. My question is, in Tennessee, which team for Tennessee Athletics is going to win the national championship first? Tennessee baseball, Tennessee men's basketball, or Tennessee Lady Vols softball?
So it's interesting because you did not bring football into that conversation, right? With Josh Heupel. Is there any reason why, yeah. Thomas?
Because it's tough because they're going against Georgia and Alabama and LSU.
I get it. But, I mean, did you not see enough last year out of Josh Heupel? Albeit I know it was Hendon Hooker and Jalin Hyatt, they had a great year. But you think all of those programs right now have an easier road to get to a national championship than Tennessee?
Yes. Yes, because it's going to be tough this season because there's not a lot of, expectations of getting to the playoff this year because everyone's saying 8-4 or 9-3 this season.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, especially with Joe Milton. But again, he's been in that offense and he's learned it for a while. I'm excited that when I talk to people in Knoxville, they're excited. Thomas, I would say I'd rank them in this way right now. I would put it would be Tennessee baseball has the best chance of winning a national championship, probably followed by Tennessee softball, then probably Tennessee football, then Tennessee basketball. And again, I think all of those are at least within grasp, right? There's none of those four that I don't think, if we're talking about it in 3 years from now, they can't win a title. I would put baseball, hell, I'd put Tony Vitello's crew right now with that rotation they have, and now they drop Burns back to the back of that rotation and skip it out of the bullpen. I think that they have a chance to go on a run. Right off the bat, Jim's saving me on the show. Hello, Jim in Tuscaloosa.
Well, I mean, Peter Burns. I just notified your favorite man who's working right now, the I-Man, and told him you were on. You know what, Peter Burns? That wasn't a bad connection. Yeah, it was a bad connection, but it wasn't a bad connection, if you get my drift. Mm. That was Matt when he does what he does every day. That's how he talks, man. And you get a translator for him, you found something.
Jim, I just can't believe you took you were in here in the first 21 minutes of the show. Normally you come in with your Superman cape hour three.
No. I'm ready for whatever is good. That's good. That's good radio. Come on, Peter. You and me together. Let's radio go. Whatever we say.
Listen, Jim, I'm with you. Can I ask you
a
question?
How about this, Peter? How about this for the knockout punch? Tim Brando said, bring it on, Paul. Bring it on about your SEC and Sankey. That's what he said on it. Did you see him? He's on a talking clip about 30 minutes ago on Twitter. And just go to it. It's on there. Tim Brando talking about what's going on with the controversy of ESPN, Sankey, SEC, transparency, and so forth and so on. Et cetera, et cetera. Peter Burns.
Jim, I have not had a chance to see it yet. I am going to ask you a question before you go. Uh-huh. I'll take a look at it in the commercial break. So my question to you is that they've got this Urban Meyer 2006-2009 Florida Gators documentary coming out. If I let Jim in Tuscaloosa get an all-access pass, you could tell all the stories about one program during a certain time. What which one you choosing?
Okay, I'm not sure I understand exactly what you're asking me.
All right, a 30 for 30 in college football, Jim, who would you take? What would you want that hasn't been done yet?
Wait a minute. Again, I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly. I don't understand what you're asking. I mean, what program about what? I'm confused. Peter, I'm sorry. I don't get it, what you're saying.
Jim, I'm going to try the third time. If I gave you the opportunity to do a documentary about any one college football program during any time frame.
Of course it would be Alabama. You know that.
But what time period? Like what? Give me years to years. Like don't you say all of it or the Bear Bryant age. Like is it there like a two-year period?
I think from the time Tua was here, even though I didn't like the times they were – I think the times that Tua was here and Mac Jones was here, that's the time I think was – that was – hey, what they did the year of the COVID – They just went through everybody. Yeah, that would be the time period, those 3 years or whatever. 16, what is it? Was it 19, 20? Is that what it is?
Yeah, 17 to 20. And again, that all of a sudden when Lane Kiffin gets there.
I don't find anything anywhere better than that, anywhere at any time.
Jim, thank you for the phone call.
Thank you.
All right. It is a good one. I mean, again, I would look at that. 2016 to 2020 would probably be that age or that group of time that I'd like to see that for Alabama. Rick in Houston, what's up, man?
Hey, Peter. Good seeing you, brother. Hey, question for you. As an LSU fan, greatest singular moment in LSU sports history, what is it for you?
If you're just talking one moment, I think it was, I want to say it's 27 years ago today, Warren Morris hitting the home run against Miami, the College World Series championship. I mean, like, if you're talking just one moment, that's probably the one moment, because there were so many great moments in the season when Joe Burrow won it in 2019. I take it's the Warren Morris walk-off, and then, believe it or not, Skylar Green's catch against Georgia in 2003 would probably be maybe number two as far as just an LSU moment. You?
Warren Morris tops the list, man. When, you know, in the shot of Cora, the shortstop, bawling his eyes out on the ground, it was just an awesome moment. Probably after that, maybe the Bluegrass Miracle catch.
Mm. Up in Lexington, was it Marcus Randall, 76 yards or something like that? Guy Morris was sitting on the sidelines. He gets the Gatorade dumped out of him. Yeah, I don't know if it's the biggest moment, because that wasn't a great LSU team. But as far as most memorable play, that's pretty high up there.
Yeah. Hey, man, what do you think? Let's get Harold Perkins on the cover of the upcoming EA game.
Rick, thank you for the phone call. It's going to be interesting to see who that original athlete is going to be. Because, you know, in years past, when they would have the NCAA video game, it always had to be somebody who had just graduated. For instance, if it was Joey Harrington because he was going into the NFL, or Vince Young, or even Reggie Bush, is because their eligibility had ended. But could you now actually have a college athlete through name, image, and likeness be on it, right? Could KJ Jefferson be one of those guys? Could all of a sudden Jaden Daniels, could you have Caleb Williams or Drake May be a part of it? We'll ask Matt Brown that conversation here in a couple of moments. One more quick phone call in here before a break. Charlie, what's happening, man?
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Doing great, Charlie. How are you doing?
Man, I got leukemia on chemo pill, but hey, you know what? You know, the time for the playing the game for fun of it, it's just over with, you know? And the thing we got going on with the 8-game and 9-game schedule, it don't matter, just so we play the games, you know? And I think SEC knows what it's doing, so... Anyway, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. It was a great week in Destin. Got a chance to spend time with the coaches, and obviously that's what they were talking about. And talking to these coaches, and again, Charlie, they're trying to figure out this name, image, and likeness and transfer portal thing. I mean, they're, you know, I as a fan, truthfully, I don't care how the sausage is made. I just want to see them play football and basketball and baseball and college sports. But from the coaches I talked to, Charlie, they're pretty they're pulling all their hair out on this thing.
Well, it's just a matter of fact, we just got to play the game. It's not the money. It don't matter anymore. The money's going to be there, don't you think?
Charlie, I think that's the big difference, is the fact that where the boosters used to put money into it and they would go directly to the schools, and that would traditionally go to better athletic buildings and stadium upgrades and stuff like that. I think there's some part of the universities that wonder, okay, wait a minute, if this is going to go to now the collectives and it just goes straight to the players, what happens? I think that's just one of many different ways. And I think when it comes down to it, we've talked about it. Charlie, everybody just wants to play by the same rules. And if Congress can't come by the same rules, is Commissioner Sankey going to come in and say, hey, all of you that are here in the Southeastern Conference that like to get the big paycheck of being in the Southeastern Conference, that like the network coverage, all of that, Are you willing to play by the same state rules? And I don't know if it's going to get to that point.
The main thing is we got to get it right. We got to play the game. And to get it right, it's going to take time.
It will, Charlie. Thank you so much for the phone call, my friend. 855-242-PAUL is that phone number. More of your phone calls coming up. We'll talk a little video game with Matt Brown as well, too. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So we asked y'all on Twitter earlier today, the Tebow Meyer era Gators will get the Netflix special treatment later this summer. What program slash era would be next up for a deep dive documentary? Pete Carroll's Trojans would be interesting. Of course, Matt Leinart, him deciding to come back one more year, the whole Reggie Bush debacle, him end up going out to Seattle and the Seahawks job. That would be an intriguing one. Nothing Finer is in here on Twitter, says, how about Lane's year as a coach in Knoxville? That feels like decades ago, the one-year era. We would have to interview Chris Lowe for that many different times. I will offer up one. Give me the Manziel year at A&M. Like, start on a Halloween night and the Halloween picture that he had when he was dressed up like Scooby-Doo and take me throughout the entire season. Billy Lucci, Tex-Ags, like, I want the full story here. And by the way, on the Urban Meyer, Tim Tebow Netflix documentary that's about to come out, the best type of marketing for that program would be if Tim and Urban were like, I don't want to be a part of it. Then I would be really intrigued. Don in Georgia, thanks for joining us here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Don?
Well, Peter, I'd have a nomination for you. If ever a single player carried a team for 3 years, I'd say the Herschel Walker era at Georgia.
Don, there's a couple chapters on that one, but man, you talk about him, between him and Bo. Like Jeff Perlman wrote a great book about the last folk hero and Bo Jackson. I mean, and again, there's been so many stories about these guys, but I mean, Herschel coming in early in his career in Athens, but I'd watch it.
Yeah, that first run he ever made at Tennessee, but nobody was expecting much from Georgia. I think all 11 players on a Tennessee team hit him the first time, and he still scored that touchdown.
By God, a freshman.
I still get chill bumps watching that years later.
No doubt. How are you feeling about your Dogs this year, Don?
Oh, I think they got a good chance of going at least to the end of the championship game. It'd be interesting to see who they come up against.
Yep, I am intrigued, Don. That's what one of the things I want to see, too, is how the quarterback thing is going to play out. I think we all agree or believe that it's going to be Carson Beck, and talking to Kirby a little bit this spring, he feels like that's the way. But stranger things have happened coming into the season. Let's go, David in South Carolina. Thanks for joining us here on the Feinbaum Show. What's up, David?
Hey, so with the South Carolina and Florida Super Regional coming up this weekend and South Carolina winning in the regular season, do you think South Carolina has a chance of winning the Super Regional and making it to the College World Series?
David, thank you for the call. Absolutely. I mean, you go back and look at that series they played, and I think it was in Columbia. They outscored the Gators 25-10. Like, this wasn't eking out a couple of victories. This was a team that worked really well. And I could argue that out of the six teams that made Supers, I mean, Tennessee played pretty well, but South Carolina looked as dominant as any of the teams, which is shocking because kind of coming into it, I would say they were probably the one that were limping the most down the stretch. So I am curious to see what the crowd's going to be like in Gainesville. I know that Scott Strickland and those guys put a lot of money into that stadium. But in years past, I'll be honest with you, I didn't think Florida Gator fans really brought it the way that other fan bases do, like at State, like at Ole Miss, like at Fayetteville, like in Baton Rouge. So I can't wait for that one. What's your prediction on it?
Honestly, I think we could lose in three games, but I won't be surprised if we win because South Carolina, we are starting to get some of our injured players back, so we can put up a fight, I think.
Yeah, David, I think it's imperative you get end up getting after, you know, I think they'll probably pitch Brandon Sproat coming up. That's been their normal Friday night guy for Sully. And so if they're able to take him down, and I think that game's actually on Saturday, but if he's their ace, if they can get after him early, going to be interesting because Caglione has been fantastic at the bat, but when he's on the bump, he's a little different. Vance is in Georgia. What's up, Vance?
Hey, Peter. I've never had the pleasure of speaking with you, sir.
It's my pleasure, Vance. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. I was going to say something first, but I'll see if I got time afterwards. As far as watching a documentary, let me first say I'm an unabashed Alabama fan. However, secondly, I'm a college football fan. I'm 68 years old, and I have been all my life since I can remember being a child. Here's who I'd like to watch, and I know they could do it quickly, is 63-65-66 Nebraska getting humiliated by Arkansas and then Alabama, getting their revenge in 71, but then the long drought and the torture they went through from 1983 all the way to 2003, mostly at the hands of Miami and then ultimately Florida State, then losing 10-0 in 94 against Miami and coming back and hurdling that team, their arch nemesis, and winning the next year decisively. And 2 years later, tying for another national championship against Michigan, that I firmly believe Nebraska would run them out of the stadium. I think that'd be an interesting thing to watch.
Yeah, Vance, it's interesting, and I appreciate the call because, like, for me, I look at it through the lens of as I've been a college football fan. I'm 44 years old at this point. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, early 80s is when it first started. But then I start thinking about storylines that you're talking about in the mid-70s. I go back and look at, I'd be fascinated to see the stories of players, like, around 1940 through 45. You know, when we were at war, about, you know, what teams are still there, the General Nealon leaving Tennessee and going to serve and stuff like that. That would be fascinating to see.
Well, and it would be. You know, I told Paul this a few weeks ago. This is a true story. General Nealon was overseas, and his mother found out that his son was in the cahoots with a few other boys, and they'd broken 26 streetlights. And she goes, you know, you're going to have to tell your father about this when he comes home from the war, which he did. And his dad says, son, we need to go in here and talk about something. And he goes, well, Dad, I need to tell you about these streetlights. And, you know, General Nealon already knew. And he confessed to his father what happened. And General Nealon's response was, I want you to know something, son. I'm disappointed that a child of mine could only take out two.
Vance, thank you for the great story, man. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, whenever in Saturdays in the South, we did a fantastic job of the documentary about what, like, a lot of what, you know, these stadiums are named after. In fact, a lot of people don't know that Alec Box for Baton Rouge, where LSU plays baseball, we'll see a super regional this weekend, was named after Alex Box, who lost his life during World War II as well. Decorated soldier. And as soon as he had lost his life, like 3 months later, LSU, and I believe 1943 or so, voted to name it Alec Box Stadium. So a lot of history in this league that we need to continue to dive into. Let me get another quick phone call in here. Dr. Sean is in Tennessee. What's up, Dr. Sean?
Hey, Peter. How you doing today, sir?
Doing well, sir.
I always enjoy listening to you with Chris on the SEC mornings and stuff during football season. I just want to get your opinion on this upcoming season, the last of the divisions. Who do you think we know it's probably Georgia, possibly Tennessee, but who do you think on the other side? I'm thinking LSU probably could win it again.
I mean, if you go back and look at returning players, Dr. Sean, as far as especially in key positions, and we start with quarterback, but even I say returning positions as far as offensive and defensive coordinator, you can't help but look at LSU and think, if I had a blind taste test and I didn't put the logo on it, but I knew what happened last year, I went and looked at, you know, the success of these programs over the last two decades and said, I got all of these things returning in one side and all these question marks on another, I would absolutely favor LSU. Now, the big difference is that game is in Tuscaloosa this year, which I think is a monster part of it. So I still lean towards LSU. I'm going to be shocked, or not shocked, I will be very intrigued to see how the media votes it when we head to SEC Media Days in Nashville here in a couple of weeks.
But do you think that Tennessee has a chance to knock off Georgia in the East for the...
It's tough. I look at Georgia.
I mean, I'm a Georgia fan, but yeah. I just was wondering. I've got people that, since I live here, the big Tennessee fans, I just wonder.
Yeah, I mean, I go back and look at Georgia being as dominant right now as when Alabama was dominant. Well, guess what? They could run into a team like an Ole Miss, right, with a firepower, a few freeze, and all of a sudden, hey, man, things got a little squirrely, the crowd got into it, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, you get a turnover early in a game, and boom, there it is. It would not shock me, but I feel like Tennessee is at the same point where Kentucky football has been at in some of their years that they've been pretty good about, like, they've got a chance, but everything has to go just exactly right for them to do it. Because I think Georgia is just a 9,000-pound gorilla right now, you know, backed up with another 9,000-pound gorilla. They're that good and they're that deep.
Yeah. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you taking my call. God bless you.
God bless you as well, too. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. You can hit us up on Twitter. Taking your calls and your tweets about the documentary, which one you want to see made around any program, really, not just SEC or college football. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back, Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns sitting in for Mr. Paul Feinbaum. Hank, Logan, Chris, Jay, Peggy, hang tight. We're going to be getting your phone calls coming up in the next hour as well. Mike is in Virginia. You want to defend somebody, Mike? What's up?
Yes, sir, Peter Burns. I want to defend somebody. Probably the smartest guy on the show. Now, I've been listening to the show probably 10, 12 years. And you got all these gym haters from Tuscaloosa. Well, I want these people that call in and bash Jim every day to listen to me, because I know a lot about sports also. But Jim from Tuscaloosa has probably forgotten more about sports than most of the people know that call in the show.
Mike,
if you listen to him, he's just got the knowledge.
Mike, what is it? Is there a story? Is there something about Jim in Tuscaloosa that made you think this might be the smartest man in the history of sports history?
Well, yeah, I'm not saying the smartest in sports history, but as far as the Paul Feinbaum show is, because you know, you got people calling in all the time, like the guy earlier, you know, he calls in every day, Paul, Matt from San Antonio.
Yeah.
He talks like, he sounds like he's talking to a tin can. And all he does is, you know, bash Jim and other people, and then he'll ask Paul the same question every day, what do you think Texas A&M will do this year? You know, but now Jim, if you listen to Jim, Jim's got a lot to offer. Of course, now I like Squirrel, and I like I-Man, and the, probably and Legend. You got to like Legend. And, you know, a lot of the other people. But Jim probably... Now, this is just my opinion, but I listen to people. I don't try to cut them off or talk over them. If you just listen to Jim's got his ducks in a row. and I love the show.
Mike, thank you. That's a lot to chew on because I never thought of it. I enjoy these calls because I start thinking about, is Jim the smartest caller here on the Paul Feinbaum show? And that's what you're offering up.
I think so. Yeah, I'd love to talk to Jim. You know, he got my phone number anytime. I'd love to talk to Jim. Just, I know he don't like to talk ball, just about anything. Jim, you know, people make him mad because he's just, I don't know, he knows what he's talking about most of the time, and like most of the callers, they have no idea what the knowledge that Jim has.
Mike, I got to rethink my whole – thank you for the phone call. We're up against the top of the break. Now I start thinking about it. You know, all these commissioners right now, these head coaches are headed up to Washington. Could Jim in Tuscaloosa run for office in Alabama? Crazier things have happened, right? If Paul decides not to throw his hat in the ring, could Jim in Tuscaloosa be a senator? House of Representative member? Governor? Possibilities are endless, really.